This week's episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by the good folks supporting us over on patreon.com/StarWarsReport.
Let's do the show, folks.
Come, come, come.
And who might you be?
It's the Star Wars Report.
Star Wars Report.
Woo! Star Wars Report. The place for Star Wars news, features, interviews, and more.
Then we can do something epic.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Please delete as appropriate.
The Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
So, you know, I've been away for a while. It's been a couple weeks. I was in Hollywood, and then I was in Disneyland, and then I was in Las Vegas.
Leia.
And now I'm back.
For work or just for the heck of it?
So it was a mix of both. I had work at Disneyland for a industry convention, but I went.
That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. And then going out earlier with the family and doing the sightseeing things, because they hadn't been to Southern California, so I took them out there early, and we did all the touristy things and toured Paramount Studios and saw the Hollywood sign, you know, all that whatever stuff. And then we went to Disneyland, and we did Disneyland for a day, and then I started doing my work, and then they did the parks the rest of the time. Then they flew back, and I went to Las Vegas to some geeky convention thing that starts with Star but does not end in Wars. Mm-hmm. It was not Stargate, I can tell you that part. And then some guy named Sir Patrick Stewart walked out and said, I am getting ready to do a new TV series of Jean-Luc Picard. And
oh, that star. That star.
And yes. Geeks that were in both fields were like, is this bigger news than the Clone Wars coming back? I don't know. I don't know. I can't answer this. It's intense.
It's just too intense. Too intense. But anyway, this is the Star Wars Report, and that's what we're here to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm Bruce Gibson, and the guy who just said, oh, yeah, is Scott Rifen. How are you
doing? I'm sorry. Sorry. You're going to bring me on before you bring Mark on?
Only because you just made a sound. So I latched
I didn't realize we were going.
I know. I like to surprise people.
I know. I thought like the theme was coming up or something. I always hear the theme.
Surprise! It's a dry run! We're coming in hot!
Hey, and the dry run guy is Mark Herleman.
Hey, there you go. See, I feel like I'm stepping in the wrong place when you go to me before you go to Mark.
No, I
Mark has founder by his name.
I dance on toes all the time, so we're good.
So what have you guys been up to lately? You know, what I mean, I just told you what I've been doing, but I haven't heard you guys in a while, Scott. I haven't talked to you in like a couple months.
Yeah, I know. I don't think we've spoken since right around maybe in the weeks surrounding Solo.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went to see that a couple more times. And then went about our business. Just got back a couple of weeks ago from a huge Walt Disney World trip. 9 glorious days, 8 nights at Bay Lake Tower.
Nice. Dang, that's a long time.
Nice. Yes, a mere 8 minutes walk from the Magic Kingdom, which was great. I mean, we're going to the Magic Kingdom. Trot, wow. Trot, trot. We're in the Magic Kingdom.
And we're there.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's faster to walk there than it is to take the monorail to the Magic Kingdom from where we are. So, yeah, it was great. We did all the parks. We grudgingly did all the Avatar we could do. And we sneaked pictures of Star Wars Land under construction, Galaxy's Edge. We've got some. In fact, I took a panoramic picture of Toy Story Land just so I could get the Star Wars Land stuff right in the background. If you go to Toy Story Land, there is a fence at the border of it, the far border. And it takes nothing to look over the fence and see all the construction going on for Star Wars Land. It's glorious.
Nice.
Gosh, yeah, because I've seen Star Wars Land at Disney World back in January, the construction going on. Now I just saw it at Disneyland in Anaheim, so I've seen both going on. But it's really weird because when I'm looking at the one in Anaheim, I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw this a few months ago. Oh, wait, no, wait, I'm in a different place. It's a different location, but it looks exactly the same, you know?
Well, but it should, right? Because they're both going to be the same location. They're both Batuu.
Yeah, they're both Batuu. Yep. Wait, how can they both be Batuu? There's only one Batuu.
Oh. Well, is
one's
Batuu
in Legends.
Canon?
Yes,
and Batu, of course, as you know, showed up in the last variation of Star Tours at the very end when they were doing the crate scene, and then they would leave crate and show up at Batu.
And it's also in Thrawn Alliances right now.
Alliances, yes.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's the backdrop.
A little synergy. Yeah. That's what the story group's there for.
They got exactly. That one waxed.
You know, it looks, what you can see looks spectacular. It really does. I'll share with you guys some photos at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do share. It's great. Do share. Will you go to the opening when it, the day it opens, like Riley's going to do?
No, you know, I have this thing called a job. And generally speaking,
Riley doesn't know what that is.
I know. But generally speaking, it just doesn't work out for me to just be able to. And I can take a day off when a movie's coming out, but to go all the way down to Orlando, you know, it's not bad. I mean, it's 3.5 hours drive from where we are. You know, because we're right. Well, you know where we are, Bruce.
Yes.
Right on the coast of Georgia. And it's like I said, it's 3 hours straight shot down there, or 3.5 hours. But, you know, there's getting a room. You got to stay. I don't do day trips. I'm too old to do day trips. In fact, when I was 25, I was too old to do day trips. So, you know, and it's just going to be a madhouse. It's going to be insane. Now, my wife and I take a vacation there every December for our wedding anniversary celebration. We kind of return to the scene of the crime where we had the honeymoon. And we will go then in early December if it's open. And if not, then our next scheduled regular large Disney trip is the summer of 2020. So we should be able to hit it there, no problem.
Nice.
But I, you know, it's like we just now, this last trip, finally did the Avatar stuff because it was just ridiculous to try to get near it. So, you know, I'll wait. I don't need to be there in the crushing crowds because it'll be the same thing 6 months later.
Oh, heck yeah, me either. That's just insane to me. Like, I can't even imagine. You can't enjoy it because people are going to be camping out for days and all this stuff. No, yeah. I'm just, no.
You know, here's the thing. I do Disney like a pro. I mean, I really do Disney well. One thing I don't do, I don't wait in lines.
No.
And so if there's not a way to avoid the line, I'm not going. Just all there is to it.
Exactly.
So I'm waiting. And God bless everybody who is going to be there. But I think there's going to be like a sense of awe, wonder, and misery all at once.
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm with you. Yeah, because we went to Diagon Alley at Universal.
Yeah.
Not as soon as it opened, but a year later. And we went at the last week of September, bleeding into the first week of October. And
good time of year.
Nobody, I shouldn't say nobody was there, but we didn't really have to wait in lines, you know? Yeah. And so that was like, the weather was good. There was no big crowds. You didn't have to wait for things. To me, that's how I want to enjoy
yes.
Galaxy's Edge like that.
Well, the Disney, you know, for those of you doing Galaxy's Edge, let me just go ahead and tell you the way to do a Disney park well is you get there early before they open, at least 30 minutes, an hour is even better. And be there when they open at rope drop. Do everything you can the first couple hours. Eat lunch the second the lunch place is open, and then leave. And don't come back till close to dinner time.
Scott, you know what?
Yes.
We get along so well because that's exactly what we do. Especially the trick also is if you stay on the Disney property, you get in an hour earlier than the general crowd.
Some days
depending on the park and whatever. But
extra magic hours,
exactly. And that's what we do. We hit it in the morning. You'd knock out so many things, and then the crowd starts really showing up around 10, 11 o'clock, like late morning. Yep. You leave
that's the thing.
And come back later.
Even getting in early, though, even if you don't get in early, you get there at the regular, you know, rope drop opening time, and they don't have extra magic hour, that's still that first 2 hours or so, there are very few people there because people don't, you know, they don't get up and, you know, I'm on vacation. I want to sleep in. Fine. Mm-hmm. You sleep in and you wait in line. Mm-hmm. And the truth of the midday, here's what happens. Biggest crowds, hottest period. Screamiest kids. That's when all the kids have their meltdowns because they're supposed to be taking a nap instead of wandering around the park. And, you know, we leave and then we come back at dinner and we close the park out. So it's now cooler. The crowds have peaked and subsided. And so we've gotten the early part of the day. We've knocked out a bunch of stuff. We finished out the park of the day. We go back to the room. We take a nap. We go swimming. We, you know, hang out. We go shopping. is perfect.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that, you know, that is the way to do those parks without being absolutely miserable.
See, and I stumbled into that.
We get everything done we want to get done.
Yeah, we stumbled into that not realizing that was actually the magic hour of all things, because we did that early morning. We got to lunch and Jana was like done. So we're like, all right, we'll take her back. We'll let her nap. The older kids can play in the pool. And we came back later that night after dinner and it was awesome. We got to watch the fireworks. That was the only time it was crowded was when the fireworks were happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that I know that that's the plan, like, I'm gonna be like, honey, we got to do it like this. This is the Rifen way.
The Rifen way is the right way. Yeah, right. Because, you know, we went to Magic Kingdom at Disney World maybe about 2 years ago, and I knew that the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride was going to be like the worst because it's like the newest, biggest ride that they've added to Magic Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we got in at 8 o'clock because we were the hour early thing, and we rode it three times.
Oh, nice.
Hmm.
Three times in a row. Didn't have to wait more than 10 minutes at any of those times.
And nope, but I bet you by noon you had to wait an hour and a half.
Yes, and of course we didn't because we've already rode it three times. But I remember looking at the app. You got to have the app, and it tells you the wait times. And yeah, you see 90 minutes on there. I'm like, man, we rode it three times in like within 20 minutes.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you're not rocking the app, then yeah, you've got to get the app because that was one of the things that we immediately found out. There were a couple different ones too. I was like, well, this one shows you all the restaurants and stuff and the wait times for them too. I put that on my phone.
Well, but there's the My Disney Experience app is really the one to get. It's got everything in there, and you can make, you know, dinner reservations, lunch reservations on there. You can get fast passes on it. It's a great app to have. I mean, I use Lines too, but you know, that one actually lets you do anything you need to do in the park. It's great. My Disney Experience.
And you know what the app also does? At Disneyland, it informed us that the monorail was closed for the day.
Oh, wow.
Because it was too hot.
Because the monorail was too hot?
Southern California was in a heat wave. They had their hottest July, their hottest month in recorded history. Mm-hmm. We were there. And it, for us Georgia people, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
But it was so hot that the monorail doesn't have air conditioning, and so they wouldn't run it.
Oh,
okay. I didn't realize. Yeah, our monorails in Florida have air conditioning.
They do, yes.
I'm telling you, there are some issues. This may not be the time to discuss it, but there are some issues with that monorail fleet. They're going to have to do something about that. And to me, the monorail is so iconic. I don't think you can ditch them. I don't think you should get rid of them. But when we were there, there really only was one day that we really extensively made use of the monorails. And that day, two of the monorails got taken offline while we were out there. We watched them get taken off the track. And one of the one we were on had to be totally shut down and rebooted to do a security check on it or do some kind of systems check on it.
Okay, yeah, that's not a good sign.
No. And I've heard rumor about the monorails not working well going into that, and I was shocked to see it that way. But
how come?
And I hope they don't get rid of them.
How come every time I ride the Haunted Mansion, whether it's in California or Florida, it stops at least three times while I'm on it?
Because
it's
40-something years old, and it's the same Omnimover ride mechanism.
And I don't mind. It's not that bad because, like, this just happened when we were in California. It stopped again three times, but then they have this recorded message of someone saying,
"Yes,
please stay in your blah, blah, blah." But then at one point when it stopped, they played that, and then somebody came on and go, "Please remain in your car, don't stand up." I'm like, "You're ruining the experience."
Yeah. I think the recording on that too, by the way, Clone Wars fans, take note. I believe the recording on that is Corey Burton.
Nice.
Ooh, wow. Yeah. That's a good little trivia bit.
Mm. Yeah, Corey Burton, when they do new, you know, the ghost host at the Haunted Mansion, of course, the original voice passed away some years ago. When they do new stuff with that voice, I believe Corey Burton is that voice.
Cool.
Hmm. So,
well, you know, this isn't a Disney podcast, but we've gone down
Riley
that road.
Launched that. Riley and Aaron launched that, and what did they do? They came to me and said, "Hey, guess what we just did?" Great, thanks.
Mouse and House. Podcast.
Mouse and Castle.
Mouse and Castle. I think it should be Mouse and House. It rhymes.
People are like, call the exterminator. There's a mouse in the house. I guess we're going to have the mouse in the house here soon with Disney's upcoming streaming service, though. Right, Bruce?
That's right. That's in our news today.
We have something to report.
Come closer. I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
You can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
So do you want to tell us about that, Mark?
No, I just thought we should report on it right away.
You want me to report on it? Because, look, a Disney streaming service is very interesting because there's so many companies that want to go direct to consumers now. There are content providers as opposed to looking for distributors. And now we've heard this announcement before that Disney is going to launch an app with Disney content, including Marvel and Star Wars content or Lucasfilm content. And so there was an investors call recently for Disney, and CEO Bob Iger went in and said that he expects the service to be available at the end of 2019. So we have a little longer than a year before the service launches. And the price point is going to be roughly around $5-ish, somewhere in that range. It's not going to go as high as Netflix. It's about half as much because they're not going to have as much content on it. But when it does hit the market, they're going to have some recent theatrical releases such as Dumbo and Captain Marvel, and the next Avengers sequel will be on there. They'll also have a remake of Lady and the Tramp. And Anna Kendrick comedy Noelle is going to be on there too. Plus, original television series such as properties from Monsters Incorporated and High School Musical, surprise, surprise. Uh-huh. Wait, this almost sounds like Disney Channel now, doesn't it?
Well, yeah.
Well, it probably should.
At one point, Disney Channel was a pay channel, wasn't it? I mean, I guess it's the next evolution.
It was the top tier of cable. Like, if you had the Disney Channel, then your mom and dad cared a little bit more. I was like, finally, I was 13. I was like, you really do love me.
Yep, it used to be a premium channel until the late 90s.
Well, you know, Bruce, they say their first priority is going out for the core Disney fans. So that low-tier price is really smart because everybody loves Disney. At least those people that have been to the park, they're coming back. They're hooked. Once you've gone and actually entered that Magic Kingdom, you've been hooked on the magic crack. Everybody comes back wanting more. I was 33. I went, my wife drugged me down there. I was like, I don't need to go to Disneyland. I don't need this magic. I was like, when are we going back? Oh my God, I can't wait to go back.
Well, I think they're looking for a name for the app. So Magic Crack app would actually go really well. I love saying this when Mark's drinking. Like, he's like,
that was close.
But you know, here's the other thing, because Disney is buying some of the Fox properties, not everything, but a piece of 21st Century Fox. And so they'll also incorporate things from Fox into the service, like, for example, Nat Geo, the National Geographic Channel content that they have through Fox. So that's part of it also. But the thing that we really care about the most
is let's focus in.
The Little Mermaid. No, wait. Is Star Wars. And yes, that was going to be part of this, but not the movies.
No. The thing we've been waiting for forever, right? We've been calling for this since the moment we saw the Old Republic little theatrical little trailer things. We're like, is that live action? Live action? Can we get this in a live action? We need live action Star Wars!
Well, yeah, they're going to have to make a live action Star Wars for the service because all the movies have been licensed to Turner till I think 2024 or something like that is what I heard.
They're
so now you have to watch them in TNT and TBS.
Got ya.
But any movie that comes out in 2019 and later that Star Wars can be on this Disney streaming app right away. So episode 9 could be on the Disney app, but all the other episodes in Rogue One and Solo would be on Turner until 2024. So we'll have to wait for that. But we own all the movies. It doesn't really matter that much. It's what's important to me is the live action show.
10 episodes is what they're talking
the
about.
New content.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 episodes. And John Favreau, I mean, you got a name that, of course, I mean, you look at this is the guy that launched Marvel Studios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, he directed Iron Man.
Marvel Studios doesn't happen if Iron Man doesn't happen. Yeah. And Iron Man, if you recall, was a huge gamble, you know, B-tier character. He's, you know, got a big budget movie, not that well known, you know, that he's not Spider-Man. He's not Superman. He's not Batman. Mm-hmm. And John Favreau made this movie work. You know, John Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. made the movie.
Yeah,
period.
Yeah, it really did.
So what is this adaptation of the book Timmy Failure? I've never heard of that. That's something else that's coming to this Disney app.
Tim,
I don't know what that book is. Timmy Failure?
That's like the big thing. Oh, live action Star Wars and an adaptation of the book Timmy Failure.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Is that like Ron Stoppable?
Now that I've heard of.
No, I think
heard of that and a naked mole rat, but never.
I think the fact that you have a live action coming, you know, and then I'm hoping Resistance will be available on this. Be great if we'd be able to get all the older stuff though eventually. I mean, hopefully those little hiccups that are caught up in the whole contract side of things, when they're out of the way, it'd be awesome to be able to get the Clone Wars, Rebels all on one service where you just pull it right up, just go from one episode to the next. I'd be down.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Because I have all my movies on Blu-ray and DVD. Mm-hmm. Well, the newer ones I have on digital, like, you know, The Force Awakens and since then. But the older movies I never bought because I, you know, I already spent like $100 on the Blu-ray set.
Right.
And then it's like another $100 to buy all the movies on digital. And so I haven't done that yet. And I debate about it all the time. But I notice that it's just when I strike up my Roku or my Apple TV, because I've got all those devices all over the place in the house, it's just great to go, oh, there's a Star Wars movie. Eh, yeah, click. Instead of loading the disc, waiting for it to load, going through any previews, like, and watching R2's head spin around or whatever. So
In the living room and you're watching it, because I got Vudu. So I'll go from there, I'll pause it, go into the bedroom, turn it on, and boom, I'm right where I left off. I mean, that alone... Right. Especially when you're doing laundry. You're sitting there, you're like, oh, man, I got, like, so much laundry. Now it's time to put it all away. Do I pause and come back a half hour from now? Heck no. I'm going to put it on and have it going in both rooms.
Well, and not only that, the both rooms. You can watch in one room, stop it, and then watch it on your phone.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about the phone. Bruce.
Or your computer or iPad, whatever.
Horizons, Brodsky. You're broadening it up. Man, speaking, though, of the broadened aspect of Jon Favreau's live action, the focus now is Mandalorians. At least that's the rumors that we're getting. And I don't know about you guys.
Spoiler alert.
But this tickles me. This tickles me fancy. I'm not even worried about where they're going with this because it's a whole new canon, and I'm down for whatever.
And let me just say, yeah, we're going into rumor territory, so if you don't want to hear rumors or anything, then it was nice having you because we're getting into some rumors on the series and also on episode 9. So, yes, Mark, tell us about this rumor again.
Well, rumors on Jon Favreau's live-action Star Wars series have been circulating, as we said. It's still pretty early on to confirm much with 100% accurate faith. So please consider this a rumor for now until we've heard from sources who've panned this out in the past. It says for the last few months, they keep hearing the same rumors, and these rumors consist of the same general information and the same general beliefs. The belief that the show is going to be set around 3 years after Return of the Jedi, and it's going to be on or about the planet Mandalore. It sounds like the Empire falls, Mandalore falls into a state of turmoil, and the series is about restoring Mandalore to its former self and how Mandalore sways and how that will have huge galactic ramifications. I mean, you think about everything that we've had in, you know, the Clone Wars with the Mandalore, then you've got Rebels with Mandalore. And if you bring in Sabine's character, especially, like, I mean, I would love to see something like that where they have a character jump over like Ahsoka did with Rebels. Have, you know, Sabine come in, and now you've got a huge backdrop of information that people can go back to and fill in. And you can just paint a whole new canvas from there because it's set farther in the future. We could maybe have some Ezra action at some point, whether it just be like, hey, where is Ezra? I don't know. He's still gone. We've never seen him. There's a lot of possibilities just if you bring in that one character. But the fact that we've got Mandalorians in general, I think I've always felt like the Mandalorians, the Sith, and Jedi were your three main factions of Star Wars. So to have the Mandalorians take center stage again for me is awesome. I can't say enough about how excited this makes me.
But again, this is a rumor. We don't know if this is. Don't get your hopes up.
I'm already hopes up.
I love this idea. I would be all for it, but I'm going to just put in the back of my head as, oh, that's something that might happen. That's, see, you know, because if I start going down that road of thinking this is going to happen, then I'm going to get like freaked out if it doesn't.
Let me ask you this. If they go somewhere, they go that route and they bring a Sabine in live action, are they going to doom themselves to failure just by virtue of it's not going to be, you know, we've learned that expectations can present a problem and there are going to be people who are going to say, well, you know, I had in my mind that, you know, Sabine was this person. I think it should have been this person, you know, and they cast a live action Sabine and they tick off, you know, 40% of the fandom. Can they, would that be a lose for them, or would that be something they wouldn't care if they just, they find somebody who's so good, you'll forget all your expectations?
I think they're going to go forward with whatever they do, because I don't think you can go forward with any direction right now with Star Wars fans being so diverse with what they like in Star Wars and what they think Star Wars is. I think every project that they put out there, there's going to be a percentage of people that are like, this isn't for me. And there'll be a large percentage that are like, yeah, I love this. This is great. Or that's bold. I can't believe you guys went there. No one's ever gone there before. But I think you're still going to have that knee-jerk reaction to whatever it is, whether it be justified or somewhat justified or completely unjustified. There's always going to be that type of reaction. I think Disney's of that type, that they're just like, they're expecting it. They're going to see it. I mean, especially you got Marvel. There were so many people that were on the fence with Marvel. You've got people that still critique when the Marvel films don't line up with the comics, even though it's clear, it's like, they can't. They went
seriously,
a different route.
That really happens. I mean, I'm not surprised, but you know, I never heard that.
Yeah. You know, it's actually, it's funny because my son and I had a very interesting conversation about that the other day, in that, you know, sometimes when they deviate, it's for the better. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but every bit of Guardians of the Galaxy is better than any iteration of that in the comics. Yeah.
Ever. And for me, Thor is the same way. That was a character that I mm-hmm. did not care for. I was like, oh man, like that's not a, I even when I liked the Avengers and Thor was on the team, I was just like, Thor is kind of a boring character. There's very little going on with Thor for me. But the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I've been hooked on that character. And Groot and Rocket, characters that I didn't really care for. I mean, the whole Guardians of the Galaxy crew, another one I never really cared for that much, and I've been on board with them especially.
Yeah. Did Groot become a little baby Twig in the comics too, like the movie, or was he always full grown?
They've had different itinerations. Like, he's been different sizes, different.
I just wondered, yeah.
So, yeah. Although, yeah, in the movie, it's his baby. It's not Groot anymore. That's sad.
Yeah, he's a little Twig. Mm-hmm. Well, I this series really interests me because, of course, it's Star Wars, but also the fact that this is going to be one of the most expensive series ever made. I mean, they're talking $10 million an episode for this thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking, Game of Thrones?
Spend no expense.
Exactly. Wait, so Game CGI, of Thrones is, right? No, I'm sorry. Hold on here. Wait, this is the New York Times. It says that, to put into context, the sixth season of Game of Thrones cost something around $10 million an episode, and its final season will cost something around $15 million.
But HBO knows what they've got before they got to that number. Mm-hmm. You know, that number wasn't always the number for Game of Thrones.
And this live action is going to be $100 million for the season.
Hmm. Wow. That's
that's got to be a lot of CGI, though. I mean, because if the rumor of it being Mandalore is true, like, I don't know, unless they decide to take all the background architecture that we see of Mandalore and all the different forms we've seen Rebels and the Clone Wars and fill it in with like Gaelic little patterns or something. It's been kind of utilitarian. I mean, there's a couple designs and stuff, but mostly it's solid slate grays and things like that. So I couldn't see the sets costing a lot of money. CG I could see costing a lot, depending on if you had alien characters that were CG, or, you know, trips to multiple planets or things like that.
Well, it costs a lot. It's going to take a lot of time to make too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which would slow you down.
You know what? What's funny is recently I've been going back and having to rewatch and restudy some of the old Battlestar Galactica for another podcast project I'm working on, mm-hmm. The original, the 78 series.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, one of the things that is, back then, everybody was aghast that this show cost $1 million an hour. And tonight, 40 years later, we're going, yeah, it's $10 million an hour, just like that other show. You know, but Galactica was like, nobody has ever spent $1 million on an hour of television before. We're like, yeah, 10, 12. That one's going to be 15. But, you know, it's just amazing how much the scale has moved up since then.
Well, and that's what's so great about these online services and premium services like HBO and Showtime and Stars, is that they really put a budget into making a show more theatrical playing.
You're right.
And, you know, not to bring up Star Trek again, but again, Star Trek Discovery, CBS All Access, you got to subscribe to it to get to the service. But one of the things I hear complaints is people would say, in that franchise, I'm not going to pay for that. It should just be on TV.
Damn right.
You're going to hear that for Star Wars too. I mean, we're talking about $5 for a Disney app, and people are going to, Star Wars fans are going to scream. Not everybody, but some are going to scream. I'm not paying to watch something that should be on TV. I shouldn't have to pay for it.
I'm in that camp, and I've got a mental way through this hoop because I still haven't done the CBS All Access, and I want to watch Discovery because I am a Star Trek fan as well. So I'm irritated because I won't spend the money. But with Disney, I get Disney movies, I get Marvel movies, I get my Star Wars. That's a trifecta of awesome, and it's less money. So I'm like, hey,
right, because you're not just getting Star Wars, you're getting other content.
So that's my thing. It's like it's like, I work at the theater, and I only work so many hours a week, and I only bring home so much on a paycheck. But I can watch as many movies with three of my family members as I want. So if I watch four movies a day, it's like I'm making $78 an hour.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, you get a good deal because you work at the movie theater. You probably get a good deal on your Subway subs, too, because you work at Subway.
Yeah.
I love the review that lady gave you about the drive-thru thing, by the way. But, you know, he's an outstanding employee. Yes. So,
no, nice.
But how much is an average ticket at your movie theater for when somebody comes to see a movie?
Ooh.
It's not $5.
No, it's like if you're going to watch a 3D movie at night, I think it's like almost $14 for
$14. So $5 for a Disney streaming app. $5 a month. I get it. And you may get four episodes if they release them week by week. Mm-hmm. But that's 4 hours of Star Wars for $5. Mm-hmm. That's a steal.
The interesting thing that's going to happen here, and I think the reason why price is probably significant, is we're entering an era where everybody wants their own streaming service. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Netflix is Netflix. Then you've got Amazon. And then you've got Hulu. And then CBS has got theirs. And now Disney wants theirs. Everybody wants their own streaming service. And the problem is, you and I are already paying $200 a month for cable and internet. At what and we're paying $10-$11 for Netflix. And some people are paying $10 for Hulu. And, you know, at some point, the budget goes, I'm not getting that service. Mm-hmm. And so these guys are in a race to make sure that their service is the one that's unmissable.
Yeah.
And whether they do it through, you know, DC. DC's getting its own streaming service.
Right, and they're doing the Teen Titans series on that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but at some point, somebody, you know, some budget somewhere is going to go, all right, I got to draw the line here. So which one is it going to be? It's, and, you know, with Disney, they've got a good price point, and then combine that with exclusive Star Wars content. I promise you there'll be exclusive Disney content, and I bet you there'll be some exclusive Marvel content by the time it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think they're in the right direction, but it's going to be interesting to see because at some point there's going to be a big streaming service crash because they can't all be supported.
Yeah, no, someone's numbers are going to hurt and they're going to tank. And once you get enough of them to tank, you're going to have a panic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be an implosion
at some
point.
You'll have three, maybe four that rise above as they collect everyone else. They're like, come to me, my children. I'll save you from the masses.
There are times where I think about in the future, and I'm talking maybe 10 years, 15 years from now, there may be a conversation we have where we say, remember when Netflix was the thing?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody like had Polaroid. Netflix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember Polaroid, man?
The other question, though, with regards to the streaming service is, you know, does this proliferation of streaming services, because ESPN now has their own, and it's one, you know, honestly, I love football. Football is one of the few things that keeps me on cable because I can't really stream it well right now exclusively. Does this proliferation of streaming services lead people to just finally cut the cable entirely and just go to their certain selection of designated streaming services that they want?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's part of the cable war. My dad, he likes NFL football, but he also loves college. And for our local services to get the college games, you have to have Dish Network. And most people have Charter. So it's like, you've got to go to find one of the bars that has Dish Network if you want to watch the Ducks play, because unless it's playing on a certain weekend at a certain stadium where they're putting it out on ESPN, you're getting it on only a certain station. Yeah, it drives him up a wall. So for him, like, that's like a big factor of whether he gets cable or Dish Network when they move somewhere is like what games are playing on what station. And yeah, I've always thought, you know, at some point you're going to get like a really cool app service where you just pick the programs you want and then pay the money to just have those. But all these different corporate signings and contracts and stuff, I don't know if we'll ever get there.
Yeah, it certainly is crazy. And, you know, I work in the cable industry and I see the numbers. I mean, they're dropping. Subscribers are dropping. And it's still majority of households in the U.S. still have cable or satellite service. But yeah. I mean, those numbers are starting to fall and people are cutting the cord. I think at some point, and also keep in mind that some of these linear networks are showing up on other online app platforms like Sling TV and PlayStation View and YouTube TV and Hulu Live TV, all those things.
But even PlayStation View, those got their own original content.
Yeah. And they all have original content. Everybody, it's all going to be, I think it's going to win out that most of these services, most of these content providers are going to go straight to consumer and not go as much to your local cable or satellite company. And I don't even want to just say cable and satellite, mm-hmm. but now that wireless is looking to launch 5G and provide Wi-Fi in homes where you would cut the, you know, high-speed internet cable line to your house, they're going to offer some kind of video services. And it wouldn't surprise me if they even mm-hmm. offer a package of apps like Hulu and yep. Netflix and this Disney app in a package for like $50 a month.
Mm-hmm. And cable companies like Comcast are aware of this and are trying to change with it. I mean, right now, our cable service comes with Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of the package. It's part of the deal. So they're aware of this and they're moving towards that. The question is whether they can save themselves, whether they've reacted in time and whether that's what the market really winds up wanting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can really just pick and choose services. It's no longer this, I had to go with the cable service or go with satellite. I mean, you don't have to use those to get content. You can go anywhere else as long as you have an internet connection now. Or just put the freaking antenna on your roof. You can do that,
speak for yourself on that one.
Oh, the good old days.
I get nothing here.
Two channels. Depends where you are.
You're like, hey, but we got the Star Trek channel. That was the only thing I cared about when I was growing up. It was fuzzy, snowy, couldn't hardly see it. But
the what channel?
The Star Trek channel. I don't remember
what station. Stop bringing up Star Trek on a Star Wars
podcast. I'm telling you, I rebelled and went Star Wars. My dad was a Trekkie. You know, proud of that rebellious heritage.
Wow. You know, when we're doing commercials for stores that sell cigarettes, we have to call them unmentionables. So maybe Star Trek should be an unmentionable. Have the best prices on unmentionables.
Right. Well, speaking of rebelling, though, there is rumors that Episode 9 may do its own rebelling and split into two factions.
Wait, what are you talking about? Why would they split it into two?
Well, leaks continue to drizzle out of the Lucasfilm base camp like a tent with a leak. The latest is that J.J. Abrams and his team are aiming to have the longest film in the franchise with Episode 9. It might be so long that it gets chopped into two movies.
Ooh. So, Scott, what do you think if they did that? Now, this is a rumor.
Yes. If it happens, I have zero problem with it. I'm not one of these people who's going to go, it's got to be 9. It's got to be 3 trilogies and that's it. I'm not going to be OCD about it because I think if JJ wants to tell, if JJ needs that room to tell the story he wants to tell and bring this to a good conclusion and have everybody be happy with it, then take the time you want, make the space you want. You know, we talk about these things in terms of a trilogy, but, you know, we have found out as time goes on that there wasn't really a lot of trilogy planning behind this trilogy.
Right.
You know, they didn't launch Episode 7 knowing, well, we're going to go here, and then the next arc's going to have this, and then the third one will conclude with that.
Right.
So since they didn't really map out a trilogy, I'm okay if it takes 4 films to finish the trilogy. I mean, the Hitchhiker's guy did it in 5.
Well, and what if we find out that now Saga means 10 films? I'm down. Sure. I'm down.
I'm fine.
I'm down with that, too. I'm fine if the saga is 11, 12, 13, 14 films. I really don't care. If it's 10, it's fine. You're right. I'm with you. It doesn't have to be trilogies. And I said that early on when Episode 7 came out, that I was kind of hoping that they wouldn't approach this as a trilogy. Go ahead and extend it for a few more films. I mean, it doesn't have to be a trilogy. I don't know. It could be Episode 10, or that scroll comes up and it says, Episode 9, Part 1.
No. That I would object to.
Yeah, I'm with Scott on that one. Give me a full Episode 9, a full Episode 10.
Well, I mean, you look at Twilight, Hunger Games, Harry Potter, they've all done the Part 1, Part 2 at the end.
But the difference is those are adaptations of pre-existing works of fiction.
Amen.
This is all new stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you need to make 9 and 10 to finish the story, then make 9 and 10 to finish your story. Don't 9 Part 1 and 9 Part 2 makes no sense since it's not based on anything that's pre-existing. Yep.
Well, and it goes on to say, with all these characters and new story arcs, in place, mm-hmm. episode 9 is going to be really long. But new story arcs. I mean, we know about new characters. They've introduced mm-hmm. that, but new story arcs. Like we're going to get some background about where Calrissian's been. Like, or maybe Luke's going to give us some flashback into the, you know, Ghost Luke and Kylo's backstory there, so we can know more about how the bromance went bad and how Luke got shunned by Han Solo and so forth. Like, that to me is exciting.
Well, you're going to need two movies. Do it.
That's a good reason. Give me some story.
You need more movie. Yeah, you got to have that in two movies if you're going to do all those arcs. And you know, if it really bothers someone that it has to be a trilogy, for those of you who don't like The Last Jedi, you can have episodes 7, 9, and 10, and there's your trilogy.
That's
like true. A lot of people do with The Unmentionable, where they exclude the first one.
That's true. Somewhere it's like it starts a generation. There's nothing before that.
Yeah. A lot of people start at Wrath of Khan and move forward from there, so.
Yeah, that is true.
You know?
Boy, that just other thing keeps coming up. I don't want to get my hopes up thinking about the whole Mandalore thing for the series, but my gosh, this is going to get my hopes up for an episode 10 now. I really, like, I'm going to be disappointed now if they don't do this.
I'm with like you because you think about the way that The Last Jedi ended, and it felt like such a left curve. That it's like, right. Where can we go from here in one episode to get right. not just yeah. a resolution to the trilogy, but to the saga? Like,
you need that yep. extra breathing room.
And yep. what book was it? Man, I'm trying to think. There was a book in Legends that was like that, where you're like almost to the end, and you're like, how can they wrap this all up? And then bam, bam, bam. You're like, oh, that was well done.
Was it Timmy Failure? Was it that book?
Yes.
I want to say it was like Cross Current or Riptide. One of those I was reading, and I was just like getting to the end, and I'm just like, there's so many things still haven't happened. And then bam, it all happened at once. It's like, oh, that was a perfect culmination of story right there.
Man, okay.
But that's what I think about. Is like you've got to make this one matter, like almost more than episode 6 or 7 when it came out. You know, when that one hit, it was like, oh, we haven't seen Star Wars in so long. You know, this one's mm-hmm. like, we're putting the saga to rest. It's got to be profound. Like, so yeah, there's a lot hinging on this. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many open things that they haven't touched, and that episode 8 was kind of like, we're never going to touch it. That I'm like, we got to touch it, right? Come on.
And let's also talk about the fact that whatever you want to say critically about The Last Jedi, it did fall short of revenue projections. Okay. I understand what it cost, and it was still successful financially and all of that, but it fell short by about $200 million of revenue projections. And then Solo did not even come up to, you know, all of its expenses. So splitting 9 and 10 could be a creative decision. And it may also be something that the suits go, yeah, okay, we buy into that, because now we can take one production budget and get two releases out of it.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a plan. I think we should do that.
All right. That's it. Next week.
Next week. We just need to come up with a
party at my house.
No, I love the idea. I love the idea. I yeah. Now I'm going to be just disappointed if it doesn't happen, but whatever. Mm-hmm. All right. And by the way, the saga, I don't know if it's going to end. They say it's going to end, but you know, George said it ended too. And he finished mm-hmm. his 6 movies. You never know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I used to take solace that he was like, there's no story for Luke Skywalker.
Right. Yeah. When I walked out of Revenge of the Sith, I'll never forget it. I turned to my wife and I said, I can die happy now because I know I've seen all of Star Wars. I've seen the story is done. It's complete. I've survived it. And now, look, you know, I'm not complaining, though. I'm not complaining. So let's go to.
I'll just think of it like a farewell tour.
That's exactly what it's like.
I walked out of Revenge of the Sith same way. I was like, well, it's all over now. I'm glad I was here for it, and I'll never have to do it again. And then I also saw Kiss on the farewell tour and went, well, that's it. I'll never see him again. And I've seen him like 8 times since the farewell tour. So, you know.
Well, and I think Kiss should be in one of the Star Wars movies. That would be really cool, too.
Star Wars, it keeps coming around like a fungus.
Isn't there a connection between Kiss and Star Wars? Wasn't there something years ago? I don't know why that's just like in my head. Maybe I'm just making that up.
In my head, there's always been a connection. I don't know. I mean, you know, when Kiss Meets the Phantom came out, the the beginning of the Kiss film saga. it was compared to a Hard Day's Night meets Star Wars.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
But I wouldn't really say either one of those was the case. But
oh wow! So let's go ahead and do Boba's bounty.
He's worth a lot to me. As you wish.
Ooh.
The bounty of Boba.
The bounty of Boba. So,
what a bobaful bounty you've brought before us, Bruce.
Oh, please, Mark, why don't you take the lead on this bounty that you have?
Oh, for sure. Well, I was at Barnes & Noble the other day, like any good nobleman would be, and I was looking at the literature, and I noticed in the corner they had some Black Series 6-inch. Oh, this one's got a spider. And, yeah, that creeped me out. So I got, Commander
baby spiders
Wolf.
All over the place, right?
Yeah. Listen to our patron for that, because there was spiders everywhere. Now I'm like, where are they at? They're coming at me. I got Commander Wolf, and I'm holding it up for the camera here for the gentleman on the other side of the screen. This got that photorealistic face action that they're doing, and my God, gentlemen, I am impressed. I wish they had this from the launch of this line. There have been some figures, like even my Jaina Solo, she's kind of like cross-eyed Katie. I'm just like, what's wrong with her? She's not quite right. Like, the paint on this is on point. The scar, like, it's dug into his face. Like, man took some shrapnel. You can see the blood, like, in there, like it's healed, but not quite right. The helmet's articulated. The little visor comes down. This is Commander Wolf at his best. I can't wait to find the Rex to go with this. But yeah, I was walking around Barnes and Nobles. I wasn't really expecting to find this there. We had went to Target that day. I did find the Han Solo Chewie, and I was very tempted to get it. And then when I got this, I was kind of like, I'm so glad I didn't do that. But yeah, I love me this 6-inch line. I never thought I would. And then I think I say that every time I talk about the 6-inch line.
You do. You say
that. I think at $20, it feels ridiculously expensive. But then you get figures like this or the Rex that are just awesome. Just like, granted, he doesn't have as much range of motion with his poses as some of the other figures, but you can't go wrong with the clones, man. I just can't say enough about it.
Is that Wolf or is it Derek? Or is it A-Rod?
It's Wolf. It's Wolf.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of looks like Alex Rodriguez to me on the monitor.
He does have kind of a look to him like that.
Did I tell you I'm going to go to the Dollar General tomorrow? So I'm just wondering, do they sell these there?
You know, maybe.
I'll tell you where you can get a nice collection of Star Wars figures real cheap-like, and that's Five Below.
What is Five Below? I'm not familiar
with that. Five Below is kind of like the modern version of the dollar store. Not Dollar General, but you remember the Dollar Tree and dollar stores like that?
Yeah, we still have two.
But everything in the store is $5 or less.
Oh.
Ooh. So, you know, because the dollar store, Dollar Tree still exists, but the problem with them is, you know, 30 years ago, a dollar was a little more than it is now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the things that you have in there that are a dollar are not really the things you would have had in there 30 years ago. Five Below, we got a ton of Star Wars stuff.
I'm looking it up now. I have seen the sign at places. I just didn't know what it was.
Yeah, you get a lot of Star Wars figures in there. Ooh. A lot of them.
So everything in there is $5 or below.
Yep.
Wow. So they could sell the Disney app here.
Yes, absolutely they could.
I'll have to check this. Okay, I'm going to Dollar General and Five Below tomorrow. I this is my big shopping day. This is really cool.
Yeah, do it.
I'm going to do that. Well, Scott, what is your Boba's bounty?
All right, you got to strap yourselves in because this is going to take a little while.
Okay.
Every so often, Best Buy, without announcing it, runs some insane clearance sale for like 24 hours and then the prices go way up again. So, I picked up from Best Buy R5Q4, list price $199.99. I got it for $49.99.
Yes!
Wow.
R2D2.
Nice.
Oh,
list price $179.99.
Oh! I don't where that came from.
Fathier water bottle. List price $24.99. My price, $2.99.
Yeah. That's a well-paid price right there.
Uh-huh. Poe Dameron Black Series helmet. Ooh. List price, $79.99.
Hold on, I'm braced.
My price, $29.99.
Oh, my gosh, wow. Scott, that's awesome.
iHome Bluetooth Star Wars headphones.
I need those.
Okay.
List price, $69.99. My price, $19.99.
Oh, I need that. I'll give you 30 for it.
iHome Star Destroyer Bluetooth speaker. List price, $49.99. My price, $19.99.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And that is my haul.
That is delicious.
I just couldn't quit clicking add to cart.
So your holiday shopping is over.
Yeah, well, there was one more thing I did buy, and I guess I can say it now. Sphero makes a Spider-Man as well.
What?
And the list price on that is $149.99, and they had it for $29.99.
What? Sphero Spider-Man? Yes. Like yes. A Sphero like BB9E? Like what?
He tells stories. He's interactive play thing. He's a really cool toy. Oh, wow. And the very next day I checked on it and continue to check on it. And ever since then, it has been $149.99. But when I got it, it was
$29.99. Nice.
Someone made a mistake.
No, this is the second time it's happened. Second time I've seen this happen. Nice. The other time was 4th of July. Nice. No, that was 4th of July. The other time was Father's Day.
Okay, so Father's Day you saw it happen, and then when were you at Best Buy for this time?
4th of July. No, I did it online.
Oh.
Slick.
Yeah, it was all online.
Slick.
And they're just selling things. And it lasts 24 hours, and then it just goes away, and the prices go back to either normal or semi-normal. R5Q4 right now is actually, they're selling it for $79.99, which isn't bad, but it ain't $49.99.
They did have him at Barnes & Noble's, and he was going for $45, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I got to grab that wolf.
But yeah, I every single day now, I go to BestBuy.com and type Star Wars in the search engine just to see what they've got.
Yeah, because you just never know when this is going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I got $70 headphones for $20.
Yeah.
You know, I got the Poe Dameron helmet for $30. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly surprised you're not wearing that. I'd probably be wearing that for every podcast. I'd be finding a way to, like, rig my headphones into it. That thing is just
that.
Beautiful.
Oh,
he's
putting it on. He had to take the headphones off.
I mean, look, you're immediately transported. Oh,
I feel like I'm talking to Poe Dameron right now.
Oh, God. Scott, that's awesome.
You should ride a motorbike on that with that thing on.
That is glorious, man. I love it.
That's a great helmet.
Great. Oh,
holy crap.
I got to find one. I have to find, man, that thing is awesome. That's so much better than the clone helmets.
Do you still have that Star Wars card, the Rogue?
The car?
The car. The Nissan.
Well, yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you still have. You need to wear that helmet.
Star Wars collectibles.
Wear that helmet where you're driving it.
Wear the helmet where I'm riding my Rogue. You know, that's the sad thing is I thought I could wear my Death Trooper helmet while I was driving, but it actually isn't a helmet. Oh. You know, when you buy the car, you get a Death Trooper replica helmet.
It's solid.
It doesn't. It's solid. It's completely solid. Yeah.
Because they don't want you to wear it while driving. That's why. Yeah.
Please don't wear this one. We know you people, and we know that you will do this. Yes. So please don't. We'll just make it so you can't.
Yeah.
And somebody somewhere has probably hollowed the stupid thing out.
With a dermal. Just,
yeah.
You know, you have caused us a big problem here because on the Boba's Bounty in the show notes that we post on the website, we list our Boba's Bounty. Yours is a paragraph.
Oh. Sorry.
Usually we have just a few words. Here's
Scott's haul.
Insane Best Buy haul. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So, okay. My Boba's Bounty is, I think I mentioned earlier, I was in Las Vegas last week. This past weekend I was in Vegas. Well, as of this episode, 2 weeks ago, whatever. The first weekend of August, I was in Las Vegas and there was a concert. And one of the conductors came out to direct the orchestra, the Nevada Pops, and it was Michael Giacchino, who is the composer of Rogue One.
Wait! The
Michael Giacchino came out.
Not to be confused with our own Michael Morse, but wow! Like,
no, he came
Rogue
out because.
One accolade.
As you may know, he wrote for that other named franchise, three movies. He wrote the themes. Plus, you know, Marvel movies and Pixar movies and stuff. But he was conducting the orchestra for this other franchise. Jurassic World and all that. But, of course, he also did Rogue One. So that's the Star Wars connection. So after and the Nevada Pops is playing all kinds of other music with their conductor, and they had other guest conductors that are associated with this other franchise. But yeah, Michael Giacchino was one of them. So nice. Afterwards, the concert's over and everybody's leaving. But for some reason, the few friends I was with, but we were hanging out in the lobby. I don't even remember what we're doing. We're just hanging out. We're just talking or whatever. And
Earth's
crowds,
gravity was holding Bruce captive.
Yeah, everybody was just leaving. It was, and so it was practically empty. So now all of a sudden, orchestra members are trickling out to go home. And then here comes Michael. Mr.
Being pulled by your black hole-like aura.
Yes. So he comes out and he meets up with these two women that were there and they're talking. Well, the friends I was with were like, oh my gosh, there he is. Oh, we should get, see. I wonder if he'll give us his autograph. We had our programs and they each had pens. I did not have a pen on me. So they go over and they say, excuse me, do you mind signing my program? And he's like, because I think he was charging for autographs like the next day or something.
Michael Giacchino's over talking to two women and you guys crashed this?
Yes, we crashed it. well, I didn't. My friends Bruce. Did. I went over with them. So yes, I guess I did too. And so he's like, okay, sure. So he signs the one. And then my other friend's like, would you sign mine too? And he's like, yeah, okay. And he signs it. I'm like, okay, obviously he doesn't really feel that comfortable, like he should be doing this or whatever. And I didn't have a pen, so I wasn't about to go like, oh, wait, one more. Can you borrow a pen? Because I'm not that big in autographs anyway. So instead, I hand my program to him and I said, would you write me a song?
Really?
Yes. And he said that. He was like, what? You want me to write you a song? I'm like, yeah, I want you to write me a song. That's what you do, right? And he's like, yeah. And he's just like looking at me and he's smiling like, what are you up
Bruce,
to?
Bruce, I love you.
That is probably one of the best things that's probably ever been said to him.
Well, I said, you know, because I want like my own theme song. And if anybody's going to compose my theme song, it's either him or John Williams. So,
oh, God, that's awesome.
So then he says, okay, sure. You got your checkbook on you right now? And I start feeling my pockets. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't. He's like, then I can't write you a song.
Like, checkmate.
And then we just laughed. Ha, 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 ha. And he was like, oh, nice meeting you, whatever. Da, da, da. And then
that's
we laughed.
Awesome.
So that was my awesome. Michael Giacchino moment.
You know, somewhere out there, he's like, and then this fan was like, can you write me a song? The cojones on this kid. He was like, I want a song, man.
What wrote The Incredibles, damn it.
Yeah. Well, he tweeted the next day how he enjoyed doing the concert. And I tweeted back to him. And I almost said, I'm still waiting for you to write my song. But I did. I just said I enjoyed the concert.
That would have been awesome.
You can't get that at Best Buy.
Or the Dollar General, baby.
Five Below, maybe.
See, I don't ask for autographs. Bruce. I ask for memories. Oh my God. Like that's
awesome. That is beyond awesome right there. That is great.
But he's like one of my favorite composers. It was sure. Great. So I've always wanted to meet John Williams, and that probably will never happen. Who knows? But this is a second. Like, yeah, this is up there with that. Anyway, that's it, I guess, right? We're done. That's the end of the show. Unless anybody has anything else or what are we doing? That's
you
it.
Know,
I got nothing.
That is kind of like what happens when you get to Boba's Bounty. Boba kind of comes in and kills everything, even the show.
I think we should end it with Rogue One music.
Yeah. Ooh.
Or. No.
Yep, that's what I heard him conduct.
I didn't want to say the words, so I thought I'd sing it.
Yes. Yeah, which actually was a suite of different themes from those movies all into one, so that cool. Was pretty cool.
So, I'm just enjoying whatever Michael put in the background right now that's playing, because it's really nice.
It is, isn't it? I think Michael, not Michael Giacchino, but Michael Morris is conducting that as we speak.
Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lovely.
So,
Michael Cloud City Casino.
All right, Scott. Well, if people want to find you anywhere online or just in general, like Dollar General, where would they find you?
Well, why don't you go to my Star Wars Story on the Twitters, mystarwarsstory.com. I put out an episode finally.
Yes. And, what's it been, 2 years? What?
It was one year.
Okay.
Took a year off, and I'm looking to do a few more because.
Years off?
It really got me jazzed.
Oh, more episodes. I thought you were going to take more another years year off. Like, yeah. It was so good. I'm taking two.
Yeah. It's all you people deserve once a year. So.
Might not be the Star Wars story you want, but that's it's right. The Star Wars story you need.
That's right. It's been a lot of, it was really good because I, you know, it had been a while. I lost my hard drive. I lost 4 episodes of the show that had not been released.
Ooh.
So yeah, I was really dispirited about the whole thing. And it's really what took me so long to get back on the horse. And, once I put it out, kind of the outpouring of emails and notes that I got from people who were thankful, and you know, Roku Depot made it their number one pick of the week, and
nice.
We've never had that.
You know, well, they just started it like the week mine came out. They're like, we're going to start something new this week. We're going to rank them, and you're number one.
Oh, okay. I made Skaldron really mad. Cool. He doesn't put Beyond the Films on there ever. It's like, man, I'm sorry, man. I love you.
But you know that. The feedback that I got from it was just kind of like, you know, because there are times, and I think you know what I'm talking about here, there are times we all get a little dispirited with fandom these days. There are things to get dispirited about. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, I get to put out an episode where a guy celebrates his fandom and everybody from every perspective of fandom seems to come out of the woodwork to say, thank you for doing this. This really, you know, reaffirmed my fandom. It really gave me a lot of inspiration to you know, keep doing this thing.
You said that because you're right. This is the best time to listen to that show because there is so much negativity if you're on social media and hearing some things that some toxic fans are doing or whatever. That's the kind of thing I need to listen to right now is a positive fan experience. Now, this last episode, I mean, who have you had on recently?
The new episode was Steve Bennett. And have you met Steve?
I don't know who's Steve Bennett. Okay. I'm trying to remember.
Steve Bennett. He's a guy who's a fan. It's just he's one of these guys. He winds up. He's kind of fearless. He winds up going everywhere and meeting everyone and doing everything. Nice. I met him at a meetup a couple of years ago. Riley was there actually, and it was just funny because he, you know, say, well, we're gonna get breakfast tomorrow. Yeah, well, we might see you there, you know, and you don't really think anything about it on those big gatherings like that. And then all of a sudden, there he shows up. You know, it's like everywhere there was an opportunity to do something, Steve was there.
Nice.
And when you hear the Star Wars story, you know, he meets in the Star Wars story, you know, Steve Sansweet like summons his child to a meeting. He meets Anthony Daniels and he meets, you know, D. Goots and Warwick Davis and you know, just a George Takei in a bathroom. And
did he ask George to write him some songs or something?
Can you just look over at me and say, oh, my. Yeah.
Yes.
Me, George Takei, a bathroom, and oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh my.
But it was a lot of fun because Steve just he puts and he went to Skellig Michael and he went to, you know, he's nice. He's been to all these locations and he just. He's one of these guys who he wants to go do things and he goes and does them. He's got a little wanderlust in him.
Nice.
And because of that, it really makes for a very interesting story.
Doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess awesome. I probably have met him if he's everywhere.
Mm-hmm. He's met Riley, then probably.
Bruce. I'd be shocked if you hadn't.
I'm sure I have.
Because Bruce, you are the Kevin Bacon of the Star Wars Report.
I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I think you're
I'm
right.
I'm telling you, man, like the first meet and greet I did when I was in Anaheim, who was there? One Bruce Gibson. Who's the first shirt I sold to? Bruce Gibson. Who bought one shirt of each with the podcast network podcast shows? Bruce Gibson.
Gosh, I need to get a life.
This is the life.
Yeah.
Good thing we're not doing my Star Wars story because I think I'd get depressed. I'll be like, gosh, I need to get a life.
I'd go on and on, be like,
man. All right. Well, also, did we cover everything for you, Sky? Or is just your handle on Twitter is My Star Wars Story, right?
So I've got Rifen in My Star Wars Story. Yeah. If you want more Star Warsy stuff, My Star Wars Story is there. But I'll Star Wars it up on Rifen as well. And of course, if you want to hear dramatic, political, fun talk, I'm on 1440 WGIG weekday mornings from 7 to 10, which is also heard on the iHeartRadio app and in podcast form on said iHeartRadio app.
I have listened to that many times.
He has heard you.
It's different than listening to my Star Wars story because...
Oh, it's... Yeah.
It's different. It's political. And then there's commercials.
Yes.
And then
there's commercials. Yes. There is that.
All right. So, Mark, where can people find you?
Well, you know me. I'm always out there on the Second Airborne Division podcast, Star Wars Beyond the Film, Star Wars Report, Padawan's Perspective, and out there on any social platform as Illogical Rogue 2, except for if it's on PlayStation 4. My son has hijacked my account. Aim for the head. Shoot him. Shoot him fast. He's getting good. I was watching him for 30 minutes today. I was like, oh my God, kid. Got the second again. Like, he's good. Yeah. So, aim to kill.
Man, he still has hijacked your account, huh?
He wants the entire thing. I'm like, you don't understand how long I have been in Logical Rogue 2 on this thing. Yeah, no, he doesn't understand that one bit. So, like, we're going to have to find a middle ground where I can somehow get my name out of the account because he's bought in these fast pass or battle passes or whatever, and they've got him all sorts of loot that's now attached to that account, so he's got to have his loot. Yeah, it's complex. I don't quite understand it all, but yeah, Fortnite is cracked too. Just everywhere, man. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
If your kid comes home with a phone with Fortnite on it, Bruce, destroy the phone immediately before it spreads to the house.
Yep, because it's everywhere. Like Steve Bennett.
Yes.
And then you can find me online too. I'm on Twitter at @Admiral_Rex, and you can find me doing a Star Trek podcast called Literary Treks, and that's all I'm going to say. Okay. Because we've said enough about that other franchise. All right, so that's it. Thank you guys for joining us. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. Oh, my. Thank you for writing Star Tours. Bye-bye.